If you enjoy this podcast, and don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded in August 2020. Welcome to the Need to Know Music Show with me, Ronan McManus. Today, I'm joined by a duo from Liverpool. Off stage, they are a married couple. On stage, they are the Mono LPs. They're going to kick us off with a song. So take it away, guys.
This is Think About It.
That was fantastic. So that was Think About It. Is that your latest single?
Yes, it is. Close
eye, you open. And that is available, I presume, in all the usual places.
Yeah, well, at the minute, it's just a YouTube release because, yes, in lockdown, obviously, twiddling our thumbs. And it was very difficult to kind of push out the release. We were planning to get our album out just before lockdown. So we were kind of stuck for things to do. So we created this video and we just thought we'd just do a YouTube release first and see how it goes. So, yeah.
And how is it going?
Yeah, great. Everyone seems to love the video. We've got a kind of a bit of a reputation for kind of quirky, unusual videos. And normally we act in them and do all funny things. Like we had one where a ninja jumped out and kidnapped the band and stuff on Die Little Death. And well, being stuck in a house, it's very difficult to do these type of things. So you've got to be creative. So, yeah.
You haven't got any ninjas lying around the house.
No,
not that we know of. But you can't see them. They jump out at night, you see. So they are difficult.
They don't obey the social distancing.
You never know.
That's what it is. For a shot at fortune five. Cause if I cannot make it, well, I think I'll be doing the same. Cause I feel so lonely. Lonely when I'm with you, yeah. Well, you say that I'm good for nothing. But there's one.
Lockdown, how's that been treating you? What have you been doing?
Oh, okay. I think you should talk about this actually. We did, Elvis Costello was doing the, did a video, didn't he? A Q&A type video on artists for NHS.
Yes, that was our artist for NHS. So people, Switchbox people will probably be maybe familiar with that one. And he did a performance of Peace, Love and Understanding, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then what did you do with it?
Well,
he nicked it.
Well, he said he was in Vancouver, I think, at the time, and he was self-isolating on his own in the house, I think. That's what he said, I think. And his family was somewhere else. So I just thought he was a bit lonely. And so I thought, again, one of those things where you're kind of stuck twiddling your thumbs and you see these things. And it was before people started doing the kind of bands across the internet type thing. So it was kind of one of the first ones that I think we'd seen was us, I think. I don't want to take credit for that. but I just thought, we worked out what his key was and stuff like that. And we just developed a thing. We wrote a string section for it. And I did a bit of keyboard for him and harmonies. And it just went from there.
He's my brother, so that was I was particularly impressed by that you've done that. I thought it was great. And also the unknown connection people may not know is Vicky is actually a cousin of his as well, aren't you? Because say of his, because he's got a different mum to me. We're half brothers, so it's on his mum's side. You're connected, aren't you?
Yeah, he's I always get mixed up. He's my dad's second cousin.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah.
So your granddad's cousin.
Brother.
Brother, yeah. Yeah, 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 that's right, yeah. But there's blood in there.
We'll have to wait for their who do you think you are? I think we'll know them. It'll all be revealed.
We'll go to a
cameo
field. Yeah,
I should have rang my dad before this, shouldn't I, and checked my facts. Sorry, Dad.
But he knew who you were anyway. He knows who you are. Does he met you guys before?
Yeah, we met him in the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall a couple of years ago. I think was it about 2 years ago?
Yeah, on his last British tour, I think it was.
And then this year, early this year, the start of his tour that he unfortunately had to cancel at the what's it called?
Olympia. I think it might have been like the second to last gig before they had to stop it. I think after the limp, I think you had to do one more, and then it was when it was all starting to kick off.
So that was the first gig of his tour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was, yeah. But and he actually, I think he retweeted it, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, right, he did. He did. He
so that was, well. That was great. That was fantastic.
Yeah. I was a little bit worried, in case we'd been a bit cheeky, but he seemed to appreciate it.
Thanks, well, he's been plenty cheeky in his time, so he's really got it. But so you guys have been doing live stream gigs, haven't you, in lockdown?
Yeah,
how have you found them? Sorry, well, Sunday.
Yeah, so every Sunday we've been doing well, I say every Sunday. We didn't start at the beginning of lockdown, but after, I don't know, was it a few weeks into it, maybe?
Yeah.
5 or 6 weeks, I don't know, I've lost track of time, but yeah, because obviously, you know, all our gigs have been cancelled, or my gigs have been cancelled with other people, everything just got crossed out of the diary, and just, it's pretty isolating, isn't it, and, you know, get cabin fever being stuck in your house, and you forget actually how good it is for you to play, music, and so we thought, oh, let's give it a go, let's just do it, and I absolutely loved it. Just to see, it's weird because you can't see faces in front of you, you can see these typed comments coming up, but just to see, like, you know, positive things like, oh, well done, or whatever, you know, clapping emojis and anything, play this one or whatever, it just really made me feel really good.
In a kind of weird way, like, when we were playing, we thinking, oh, everyone's enjoying it, oh, it's making people feel good about being, like, you know, as best you can of being stuck in lockdown. But I think it was more important for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. Selfishly.
It made us feel like we were doing something or whatever. Because I don't know, you feel like trapped, and you know all your creative kind of outlets kind of start to shrink, and it just opened us up and made us feel. We were getting a bit down at one point, like, and it made us feel a lot better. And the interaction between humans, even though it's only on the ether, like, you know, it is brilliant.
Not to sound too dark, but
yeah, I mean, I felt,
sorry, I was just gonna say, you kind of lose your sense of purpose, I think, if you can't do the thing that you do all the time, you know, you suddenly can't do that anymore, you lose that. I found, anyway, so to bring that back in,
100%
like, oh, wow,
agree with you, yeah.
Yeah.
But I found that you find also, I've been doing gig the same sort of thing, the online gigs, and you find the interaction between the people watching you, between each other, they're talking to each other, and it's like, it sort of almost, it really gives that kind of social, brings that social thing to it, and that's really heartwarming, because you think, at one point you're thinking, are you listening to me or not? You keep talking to each other, but...
My mum actually, my mum's been watching them, and my dad, and like, her family all live all across the country, like Wales and down south and whatever, Midlands, and spread out all over the place, you know, they don't all live in Liverpool, and they've all started watching the gigs, and they've all, every Sunday, they all have a chat. Like,
I'm
just watching, playing,
like,
and thinking, what are they on about?
I mean, if that was happening at a real gig, you'd be like, sure, I'll come try to play a song.
I find it really off-putting with the lyrics. You keep forgetting lyrics because you read from the comments.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
I've done the same thing and gone, oh no, where am I? Stop looking at the screen, I have to look at the screen.
She's just been around the pole ever since she turned the age of 17. She's every little rich man's dream. I bet she tastes the strawberries and cream. The system chewed her up and spat her out far too many times. Now she's living four white lines, while the fellas always do in time. Because you just gotta be free.
Let's bring this back to the start then. So how did you get into music? How did you start off, and where did you start? Because I'm assuming from the cello, you're kind of coming at it from maybe a more of a formal.
Well, my mum and dad are both musical. I mean, they're not musicians. They have normal jobs. But my dad taught me the piano when I was really little, and then I don't know, I developed an interest for the cello somewhere along the way, and I was just really fortunate that my parents, you know, paid for private cello tuition, so I was really fortunate. And yeah, so that's why I just love the cello. And then go on, Steve.
Well, for me, I'm more of a kind of the opposite way around. My dad used to gig a lot through the 60s and 70s, played with the Beatles, and Ringo Starr played drums in a band he was in for a bit, and all weird little things like that. So I became fascinated in the kind of Liverpool, you know, mythology of music. So I never really showed an interest in music until quite late on. I think I was like 14, and then I was asked to be in a band, and I just said, yeah, I can play bass, and I couldn't play bass. So I went home that night and said, Dad, teach me the bass. And he showed me a few things, and then I went off playing a bit of piano and just kind of organically learned it. And then I thought, well, I best decide to do it a little bit properly. So I went to music college, where I met the wonderful Victoria Mushier. And that's how we met.
So music brought you together. Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So when did you sort of start writing your own songs then? And when did you just start collaborating straight away? Or how did this start to work?
So the way the college worked, they put you into little bands. It was quite a nice little thing. So it was like they pushed you into bands, and you needed a bass player, two guitarists, keyboard player, pushing that band. And poor Vicky was the only cellist.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
It was more popular music based, the course, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a very popular music driven course, and there were only a few classical musicians, but. Even with the classical musicians, we had to get involved with a band. And I was a bit like, oh, what am I going to do? There's no cellos and bands. And then Steve came up to me in the corridor and said, oh, I like the Beatles. The Beatles got strings. I said, I love the Beatles. This could work. And then he started saying, oh, I've written a song. I'm going to write a cello part for it. What do you think of this cello part? And the first cello part you showed me, I laughed at it. That sounds really mean, doesn't it? But I said, that's not a cello part, that's a guitar part. That's rubbish. And then we went to a practice room, I played it. And I went, oh, that's really good. Actually, that sounds really different and really good. Actually, this could work. So
I think it really works well, the sort of cello sound against the more sort of the pop sort of pop rock songs. It works perfectly, I think. There's actually been a few more sort of singer-songwriters using cellists, isn't there? I mean, David Rice that springs to mind. Yeah, so maybe you were the early pioneers of this.
We got told by the press we were a mixture of ELO meets the Arctic Monkeys was one thing we got told once. So it was kind of like, and we're big
fans of
Yeah.
If you live with hypocrisy and you think it's wise, pretty soon, well, you won't tell the difference between the truth and the lie. If you fight for a false flag and you die in your sleep, you gotta know the only people that I'm on and are the ones that body like sheep.
So how long before you formed the Mono LPs? Is that just you two guys, or is there more other people in the band too? How does that work?
We're a four piece. Yeah, we're a four piece. So usually we're not usually acoustic. We're usually with electric guitar, electric bass guitar, full drum kit. But when we were in college, I don't know, we started pretty much straight away, didn't we?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, we weren't called the Mono LPs then. We had a band called Brubeck.
Yeah. After Dave Brubeck, I just thought that sounded good. Rob Dave.
And everyone would just ask us, so are you jazz then? Yeah. And I'd have to go, no. Yeah. So after a few years and a few different lineups, we decided to change the name to something a bit more simple.
That's a good name. It's a cool name.
That's another thing. Everyone seems to really love the name. That's another one as well. We kind of touch lucky with a cool name.
it's the hardest thing in the world to find a band name, isn't it?
It is.
When nobody's ever tried it, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
But the Liverpool sort of scene. I mean, for people who haven't visited Liverpool, I mean, there's an obvious displays of the musical heritage. It's very much celebrated, much more so than probably I've ever seen in any other city in the UK. There are statues to musicians. There's obviously Matthew Street. It's just there's just music coming out of the place. And So that must be really inspirational on the starting on that scene and being in that city where it's such a major part of the culture there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like completely woven into the fabric of the city, really. You know, there's no, everyone I know either, you know, knows a musician or has a guitar in the house or a piano, or anyone can do something. So I kind of, it's almost like you've got to kind of get your thinking cap on and really push, because it's not as easy as like maybe in other cities where you go, oh yeah, impressed. Yeah. Everyone go, so you go, oh, what to do next? So you got to, you know, so I think that's why the music quality, I think,
Music quality.
Of the city.
Music quality.
Music quality.
Oh, you invented a new word?
Musicology.
Music quality. Music quality. Sorry, carry on.
That's a great word.
That's
a great word.
That's good, that, isn't it?
Great word. Yeah, music quality. That's the next album title.
So the music. Quality. It's a Scouse accent as well. You see, we blend everything together. The music quality of the city is massive, I think. So, you know, everyone's really, you know, at the very least proficient at writing a decent tune. Or so it's like kind of, you got to push and think. And it's a good creative, like, melting pot, I think.
Really got to up your game, haven't you, I suppose, because you're starting the competition is high.
Yeah, definitely. There's always gigs. There's so many. Well, I don't know now, really, with what's been going on. But there were so many music venues, especially when we were in college, weren't there?
Yeah.
And like so many opportunities to gig, like from open mic nights to full on stage.
Well, that's one of the problems.
There's all kinds of gigs going on.
With the current climate, we actually did an online festival called the Liverpool Digital Musical Festival. Yeah. Wow. The lockdown was on, in support of the NHS and
Save Our Venues,
because I think it's about three or four venues are going under, or have gone under, that we've played many a time in Liverpool. And Par Street, I know it's a slightly different thing, but Par Street, this
recorder
studio has been sold off and it's getting changed to flats, and Coldplay recorded their albums there, and you know, I think Black Sabbath did it, and Justin Bieber was there a couple of years ago, and it's now it's just gone, you know. So
that's terrible.
It's really
terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really affected the city badly. So it's just, we don't know what's going to happen after lockdown's over, because I think something like 70% of creative arts are now in struggling, I think. I saw the statistics online, so it's a difficult one for everyone.
Yeah, I think there's definitely been a lack of mention of the arts in any conversations about reopening stuff. They're talking about football and about other industries, but I think there seems to be a massive hole in that conversation is the arts, the theatres, music venues. And I think there's a lot of people that are just kind of thinking, well, is when are we going to get back to this? And it's a worry, you know. Mm-hmm. I've had a similar thing with our band, our album, not being able to launch it and gig it properly. And so you mentioned before you've sort of changed tack with that, and you've been doing the YouTube thing. What other plans you have for your album or for the songs on the album?
Well, because the album's a bit of a weird concept album, you see. It's do you know the way nowadays it's like everyone has playlists on Spotify?
People don't listen to albums.
People don't have the album in the same respect.
As an album.
And so we thought that, well, what happens if you had 10 different bands in a playlist, but it was an album? And so that's what the kind of concept is for the album. So that's why this new single's got synths on it, and it's all kind of like electro. Our previous one was heavy rock, and then it's a pop tune and a country tune, but it's all under the kind of window of, all under the umbrella of the mono LPs, but we're like a different, I suppose you could say it's an updated version of Sgt. Pepper in a way, but reflecting the Spotify generation.
It's a great idea, and it's obviously you're really spreading your wings creatively as well, because you're sort of moving into these different genres, and there must be something, that must be really amazing to do, to tap into that.
Yeah, well, it was, it's interesting, because obviously we're not like a synth band, so kind of coming out of synth from a rock band perspective kind of you feed your influence into it and it kind of spits out something different, which is maybe not what a synth player would do. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like the cello.
Yeah,
we do rock riffs on cello and you wouldn't think of that, do you know what I mean? And now there's like loads of people doing like cello-y stuff. But in terms of the album, I think maybe we're going to keep releasing videos as separate singles or separate concepts. And then maybe then once this is all over, do a big album push. We don't know, but we're kind of drift feeding the songs for now and just seeing where it's up to with that.
That seems to be a strategy that a lot of bands are taking on. And actually, Brandy Zero is my band. We do exactly the same thing because people are just having single songs and more often rather than them all appearing in one go. Yeah. So it seems to be how people consume music. So I think it's definitely a good way to go.
It's sad because I do love having the album, having the product, because we've thought about it intensively, like what order the songs go in, and we've thought about it in like terms of how each song's got a key and it blends in and, you know, all this stuff. And if people just get a song on Spotify and then next song's by a different band, and it kind of ruins the flow a little bit, doesn't it? So you've got to think creatively and you've got to think differently about how we create music, I think, in this modern digital age.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the whole problem with the old shuffle button. When you release an album, you spend hours thinking what order the songs are going to go in, and someone presses shuffle and the whole thing just goes to pop. But that's even worse now.
Well, Ronan, this is almost by fate, that's what you just said there, because what's the album called, Vic?
The album's called Shuffle Play.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and you just said about pressing the shuffle button.
Just because of the way the button is.
We are linked.
it's all about
the promo, you see. It's all about the promo. But what's been the sort of career highlight? It's been a career highlight for you guys so far today, to date.
I don't know. Well, we were asked to do a tour of, asked to do a festival in Norway.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That was amazing. And we got to feel like proper rock stars for a couple of days, I should say. And they liked us so much, they invited us back the following year. So we were playing alongside their version of like Robbie Williams and stuff like that. So the people who were playing were huge artists in Norway. And a couple of scallies from the pool were kind of next to us. Next to us, I should say. But we got, you know, kind of five-star treatment. It was amazing.
They treated us like royalty. Do they know we're nobody? What are they doing?
In the morning, as the night turns to day, won't you let me get behind those eyes? There's nothing more left to say, 'cause I'll stay.
Going back a few years, we played. You'll know this, Ronan. Do you know the Notting Hill Arts Club in London?
Yeah.
Well, we played a night there called Death Disco, which was Adam McGee's night, and we were headlining, I think, that one. And all of a sudden, Mick Jones from the Clash turns up with his mate, and goes on first. It was weird, and it wasn't any Clash or stuff. It was their little project, I think, they'd just been doing. But they just played, and I met Mick Jones. Well, we all met Mick Jones with me, and I made a fool of myself because the band on next, the bass broke, and he shouted, "Oh, has anyone got a bass? Has anyone got a bass?" And I thought, "Here's my moment to kind of be the white knight." So I grabbed our bass and ran towards him to give the bass to the guy. And as it did, I cracked my head on the speaker. And I just heard him go, "Ah!" It was like Sir James laughing at me. I didn't say anything to him. I had to just turn away and walk off.
What have been your sort of challenges you've faced, apart from I mean, I've been in a band with my brothers. I don't know what it'd be like if I'd been married to any of them. But what'd be the challenges apart from being a married couple and bringing all your baggage to the gigs?
Well, I think the money thing's actually not been too bad, has it? I've certainly not noticed. I think she might have done, but
that's not usually. No, I feel like we've got different. It's like, I don't know. It's like you go not go to work. I don't mean see it as like work, but you know, like I don't know. It's like you put a different hat on. It's like we're not a married couple. Oh, we're in a band together.
Yeah,
so that's probably very important to have that mindset. I suppose you know it must really help. What have you been your other? What have been the challenges that you've faced? What's been the other challenges that you've faced?
Well, I suppose if the industry is a difficult one to navigate, and if you're not one to sound kind of bitter, but if you're kind of like a friendly kind of open person, you know, the sharks can circle you at times, and we've certainly had a few sharks circle us, and we've being like kind of went down that road a few times. So I suppose the industry is as amazing as the industry is, as artists, the business is the difficult one at times to kind of navigate. And if you're not shrewd, or if you're not shrewd, I think is the wrong word, if you're not guarded, I think we've been quite open and friendly and honest, and
we trust very easily.
We trust very easily. Yeah, that's our problem. which is a good thing.
Yeah, you can't lose that. I mean, you've got to keep the love in your hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, they win.
Yes, they do.
So what's next for you guys? What's next on the list? You're doing these releases. So how many have you released so far, and how many are on the list?
Well, we've done two official videos, this being the second one, and we've done a one lyric video as well, because that was another thing as well. We were thinking about, this is before lockdown, kind of, again, lockdowns has been a bit of a blessing and a curse, because it gives you time to kind of reorganize yourself and, you know, kind of work out what to do when you're kind of in your daily life and there's no lockdown. It's busy, you're busy, and trying to cram in the creative elements of things, it's difficult. So we started doing like lyric videos, which seem to be quite popular at the minute, and so we've got one lyric video for Not The Only One, which is our last single. We've got an official video for Hell, and then Think About It. So I suppose really after lockdown we'll get back to kind of making proper videos, and maybe speaking to our kind of distributors to try and get the album out properly, and a launch, a tour. We don't know really. We want to see where the land lies with the venues and stuff. Mm. Hopefully, we'll be, you know, really keen to get people back in, and just we don't know with social distancing really.
It's hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to plan.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen?
But I think staying online is looking like a likely thing, isn't it? Kind of pushing. You know, because I think once we've learned so much doing these live gigs, because we're not techie people at all. We're very untechie.
I think all musicians have found that they had this crash course in online gigging. And
we're like, is that all the producer does? God, we've been paying them loads. Just press the sound good button. So I think we could adapt this to the full band setup, because we've got our like mixing desk here and our kind of like audio interface. So we could do a full band version of our live setups for.
I think you can kind of see it being a thing, even when tours and everything are going on. Bands having their own little sort of live space that they use to live stream from, because it's been the one thing has come out of this for the musicians, even though the gigs and that all has been decimated, but there has been a kind of an upsurge in live streaming, and that being a route to possibly new people learning about you and watching your gigs.
Definitely.
You're obviously potentially playing to the entire world, you know.
It is mad. But this watched us that we think who are they? We don't like how have they found us? It's interesting, isn't it? Because someone can just click start a watch party on Facebook, and then, you know, all of their friends can be watching, and we don't know all their friends.
That's exactly what happened to me just the other night. Someone said that, oh, I've discovered you for a watch party, and I'm really enjoying it. Thanks very much. I was like, brilliant. It's just like, I never found that person in the past, would I?
Yeah, you know,
in the usual conventional ways. But, this is the Need to Know Music show. And we asked everybody for a recommendation of somebody that they may not have heard of, that they need to know. So who would be your recommendation?
Yeah, we'd have to say there's a singer-songwriter in Liverpool called Katie Mack, and she has the most angelic, cultured voice. It's just it's really hard to describe her voice. It's amazing. She sounds like...
Raw, though. Angelic sounds a bit like...
Yeah, no, it sounds like she's lived a life through in her voice, but she's only like 20-odd. So, and she's amazing. A guitar star. She's like a folky musician. She's amazing. That's my personal recommendation.
Katie with an IE. We'll put the link in the description as well for her, and obviously all the links where people can find your music, and people can, so I suppose they can follow you on all the social media stuff. I suppose they can do all that kind of stuff, can they? We'll put all the links there so people can find out more. And I wanted to try to squeeze in another song, if that's okay. Thanks very much, Vicky and Steve from the Mono LPs.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
This is Hell.
One, two, three, when you wear your heart on your sleeve, I lose my ear.